This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, he's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. And don't forget, we got the coaches show coming up tonight. Final one of the year with the head coach of the Bulldogs, Coach Brent Thompson, down at Big John's Tavern downtown. Starts at 7 o'clock. One final time as we get ready for the last game of the year for the Citadel against Chattanooga. And that can be heard right here tonight, 7 o'clock. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S., and they provide residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager at Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can check out their incredible history. You see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. We'll get back to the college football playoff rankings coming up a little bit later on this hour. Some more thoughts on that. Plus, even in a loss, the College of Charleston were big-time winners last night. Now they get about a week off. They played four games in 6 days to start the season. Now they get almost a week off and hit the road for the first time against Oklahoma State. So that's another opportunity for them. And high-profile game on Monday against a big boy like that on the road against Oklahoma State. We'll see how that goes. But a good performance, even in a loss, for the Cougars last night. Every Wednesday, we talk golf, and we do so with our resident golf expert, Jeremy Schilling, who you can find on Twitter, at @jschill, writes for PGA Magazine, joins us every week. And he's with us now. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you?
Golf-wise, I'm fine. Life-wise, I'm fine. Football-wise, I'm very confused.
Yeah, get excited for Joe Flacco to start this Sunday for your Jets.
Okay. Can we just talk about this off the top? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I understand that you're scared of Brian Flores' defense, and I guess you think that Joe Flacco has more experience coming out of the, when facing people from the Belichick coaching tree. But last I've checked, the Jets haven't beat anybody related to the Belichick coaching tree, it feels like, in forever. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this is overthinking it. Either you give Mike White another start, or you start Joe Flacco, but just say that it's because Dak is not ready. This does not make sense that you're using one of the schematic elements of Joe Flacco as the reason to start them against the Dolphins. Start if it's a better matchup. I'm not sensing that from Robert Saleh. I'm not happy, and I'm very confused.
Yeah, it makes no sense. There's no future for Flacco with the Jets. You either go White or Wilson. Might as well. It's not like you're making the playoffs anyways this year. Why start Joe Flacco? Is there any truth to the rumor I just created that Robert Saleh is doing this so he can then throw it in Rex Ryan's face that he can, in fact, coach because he's going to try to win a game with Joe Flacco?
I can't say the words that I want to say to that response, but The answer is no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a theory we're beginning right now on the Morrow Midday Show.
Okay. What I also can say is that Robert Saleh went on to say that White will be QB2 and that he sees White as part of the future of this team. Huh?
Yeah. We might as well put him out there instead of Joe Flacco, who is on borrowed time right now in the NFL.
I wish all the best for Joe Flacco. I have nothing against Joe Flacco. I just think it's the wrong decision.
The Citadel played against his brother. His brother beat the Citadel twice at Towson the last couple of years, younger Flacco. Mm. So, forget the Flaccos. He can take his business elsewhere. Talking golf now with Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at @jschill. Let's dive right in. Houston Open this past weekend. What stood out to you? What were your impressions from what you saw this past weekend at the Houston Open?
I told you that Jason Kokrak has won three times in 12 months. Would you have flag that as a true statement or a false statement?
I thought you would have made up a name, because I don't know. I don't even know who that is.
Well, he won the CJ Cup last fall. He won at Colonial this year. This past June. And now he wins yet again. He wins the Houston Open by 2 over Kevin Tway and Scottie Scheffler. He came home in 31, made 4 straight birdies from 13 to 16, and did it with relative ease. Chip-ins help you sometimes, but he was able to do this really nicely, got the putter going, struck the ball well on Sunday. And I think it's yet another example of on any given Sunday, anybody can show out, because this is somebody that is not really known as a great tee to green player. He's long, but he's not like, one of the guys that you flag for being great with his irons. And he was second in strokes gained approach to the green, including on Sunday when he gained 4 shots in the field in that direction. It just shows you how crisp his iron play was. It was good to see, and it just shows that there's a whole bunch of guys that tiered down from, let's say, the top 15 in the world, that when they got hot, they can go on these runs of 3 wins in a 12-month span. When they're cold, not quite.
Part of your brand here on the show, Matt Wolf is tied to the brand of Jeremy Schilling here on the Mara Midday Show. Why do you believe he's getting closer? What have you seen from him lately?
I saw 3 really good rounds. And he had a rough Sunday, even though he made a hole-in-1 on the 9th hole, but had 3 bogeys in the front, and then had 3 bogeys in the back, and failed to really get any momentum going anytime. Anytime he made a birdie or something happened, it stalled, but it continues to look right. And there are golfers out there who know when a guy looks right. You know, like when you see a quarterback drop back in the pocket, you can easily see if he looks comfortable or not.
Yeah.
Or if he's being confused by a defense and seeing ghosts, in the words of Sam Darnold.
Right.
You can see that Matt Wolf looks right. He's got a good, kind of pep to his step. He doesn't have a swagger per se, but his gait is a nice pace gate when he's on, and you can see that it's back. He's close. Scottie Scheffler is also close. Scottie Scheffler, who's playing this week at Sea Island, is making a caddy change. He's going to try Ted Scott out, who has been on Bubba Watson's bag the last 15 years. He's really close. He just could not get anything to go his way on Sunday. Couldn't get anything to fall. Failed to take advantage of the drive on par 4 13th, just kind of got stuck in neutral on Sunday. But those two guys are close. I would not be surprised if Scotty, if it's this week, Matt, if it's early next year, if or whenever that he gets the ball rolling and that he ultimately gets to the finish line. This is going to be wins for both these guys. I firmly believe that, and they're close, and they're just not quite there yet.
Speaking of wins, Nelly Korda did win at the Pelican Women's Championship, which seemed like it was a wild championship. What were your takeaways there from Nelly at the Pelican Women's Championship?
Number 1 player in the world, reigning Olympic gold medalist, in a duel with Lexi Thompson down the stretch, makes a completely wildly poor swing on 17 to leave herself short of a bunker, and tries to play the next shot too cute, hits it into the bunker. Long story short, she makes a triple bogey. Lexi Thompson had a 3-putt bogey. They go to 18, and Nelly Korda, a shot back, makes birdie on 18 from 20 feet or so. Lexi Thompson fails to get it up and down from the fringe, goes to a 4-woman playoff, 4 of the most powerful, best women on the planet. Nelly Korda, Lexi Thompson, Se-Young Kim, and Lydia Ko. And on the first playoff hole, Nelly Korda left herself basically the exact same putt she just made, gets the victory. Nelly Korda's putter let her down twice. Short putting has been Lexi Thompson's bugaboo for as long as I can remember. It's the weakest area of her game by far. I hope she bounces back this week at the CME Group Championship with a win. But Nelly Korda, Jin Young Ko are lockstep basically with each other, along with a couple other people, for Player of the Year, and to try to win the CME Globe. Biggest purse for the women in a non-major all year this week. And really excited to see Nelly's progression here over the next couple of years. She just hired Jamie Mulligan as her new swing coach. That's Patrick Cantlay's swing coach. So big things happening for the women. And then I know your next question is going to be what happened in Phoenix at the Charles Schwab Cup Championship. And that's yet another victory for Phil Mickelson. Unlike Scottie Scheffler, Phil made all his clutch putts, shoots a mid-60s round on Sunday to get the win, and Bernhard Langer, at 64 years old, he could barely stand on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Luke, he could not put the ball, he could not pick the ball up out of the hole, and he could not put his ball on a tee in the ground. He had to have his caddy do it. He was in so much back pain. Huh. He called it the worst pain of his career, but needed to finish and then get some help to win his sixth Charles Schwab Cup. And at 64 years young, Bernhard Langer wins his sixth Charles Schwab Cup championship. Did it also by beating his age on Friday. He's amazing. He is absolutely amazing. Sometimes being injured can really help you. And, you know, kind of takes your mind off, you know, beware of the injured golfers, we always say here. And, very interesting performance by him. And it's just remarkable what he's doing. And Phil gets yet another Champions Tour victory, 4 wins and 6 starts on the senior circuit.
Yeah, not bad. Did you watch I don't know where you are, if you're like a Monday Night Football guy or a Manning cast guy when they do those games, or you go in between. Did you watch any of Mickelson Monday night?
Yes, and I was not surprised one bit to see that he turned it into his own TV show. he decided to ask all the questions. He's a gigantic sports fan. He nearly bought the San Diego Chargers about 5-6 years ago. And, yes, I said that on purpose. He is a San Diego resident, Phil is, and was working to keep the team in San Diego. He's now moving to Florida for tax reasons, Phil is, which – he, I guess, discovered during the process of investigating the ownership of the Chargers. So do with that what you will. But was not surprised at all. He's a diehard sports fan, loves talking it. And if they ever needed a host in that role, he'd be really good for it. But something tells me Peyton and Eli are going to keep that one to themselves for a while.
Yeah, I think so. But he was good. I like the lineup Monday night for that. I'm talking with Jeremy Schilling, who's on Twitter, at Jay Schill, our resident golf expert, joins us every Wednesday to talk some golf. This weekend we have the RSM Classic. What should we expect this weekend in the golf world at the RSM Classic?
Before we get to the final full field event for the PGA Tour, the final official event for 2021, I just want to get back to the Manning cast.
Yeah.
Both of those guests who are on in the first and second quarter have played golf with this next person. One of them play golf all the time with him and are very good friends, and that is Jim Nance. Jim Nance and Al Michaels play a ton of golf together when they're both out in California. That's a friendship that not a lot of people know about, but they literally play a ton of golf. And one year, about, I would say, 5 years ago, Al goes, I got to name somebody who I think is going to be really good in TV. Jim goes, I have somebody too. You go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. The bottom line is they both said Tony Romo.
Huh.
And we've seen how that turned out.
Yeah.
Tony Romo will not be in the RSM Classic. A whole bunch of guys who are based in the Georgia or Sea Island or South Carolina area will. It's a field that is led also by some interesting players who have decided for one reason or another to make a pit stop in that area. Like Justin Rose is competing this week. Jason Day, who is now on a pitch count in his career, basically making an appearance. Kevin Kisner is a former champion of this event. Robert Streb's a multi-time winner of this event. Scottie Scheffler, as we talked about, is close. Taylor Gooch is in the field. Joaquin Niemann, whole bunch of guys are in this field. Harris English, Louis Oosthuizen tries to finish 2021 with a win this week. We'll see how that turns out. The guy that I like this week is Webb Simpson. He's built for these greens. He's built for this surface. He's built for this area of the world. He had an off by his standards 2021. And I think now that the COVID issues and the family health issues that he faced in 2020, 2021 have hopefully passed for good, I think Webb Simpson gets the victory this year and heads into the off season with a smile. And as I said, also the CME Group Championship is this week on the LPGA Tour. Sam Burns has a very nice 25-point lead right now in the FedEx Cup standings as he tries to go into the fall with that title to his name. Not that that gets you anything, but it is cool to be able to sit on a, you know, Cup regular season standings for a month and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. He's Jeremy Schilling, our resident golf expert, joins us every Wednesday to talk golf. Find him on Twitter at Jay Schill. He writes for PGA Magazine. Jeremy, appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again next week, heading right into Thanksgiving.
And heading into Brooks versus Bryson. And
that's
folks,
right.
I need your help. If you have questions about any of the breakaway tours or the PGA Tour International Series, please tweet me at Jay Schill or tweet Luke or tweet the station. This will be a part of an upcoming December segment where I will go through where we are in terms of all these different tours and different entities trying to disrupt the competitive golf model.
Perfect. Looking forward to it. He's Jeremy Schilling on Twitter at Jay Schill. As he said, our resident golf expert, writes for PGA Magazine. You can get to him on Twitter. He joins us every Wednesday to talk golf. Appreciate the time, as always, from Jeremy. We won't have our we won't have a show at all tomorrow because of Bobby's Radiothon, which is much more important. So we won't catch up with Paul Charchian, our resident fantasy football expert, on the show tomorrow. But let me give you just my tip, and I'm no fantasy football expert. I heard that Joe Flacco news. I went out and grabbed the Dolphins defense for at least one of my teams this weekend. Flacco, oh my good, are you kidding me? That's going to be horrendous to watch. So I'm going to take my chance with the Dolphins defense, who had a big week against the Ravens last Thursday. Extra time to prepare. They get Joe Flacco. So no charge tomorrow to help you with your fantasy lineup. I'm going to take a stab at it instead. You could be like me. I'm taking my chances with the Dolphins defense this week against Joe Flacco. No thanks. Coming up, we'll circle back to the college football playoff rankings. They came out last night. Really not much change, but we could get some changes in the future. Plus, the winners and the losers in this whole thing. I'll share that with you as well after the developments of the past week. More thoughts on the college football playoff rankings. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You've always getting these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do it, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Dawson that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, we'll get back into the college football playoff rankings from last night in just a moment here on the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Did you play a different version of this song earlier, or am I losing my mind?
I actually did. Okay. I did not realize it at first.
Well, no, hey, I'm not complaining. I just realized I have been whistling this song for the last half hour.
Because I usually will play, you know, two different versions, but on different days. Like, if I come across those, I'll play it one day and then the other the next day.
Right.
Or the next, you know, weekday.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. I've been whistling this song, and I thought because I heard it, then I hear it now, and I realize, like, wait a minute. Maybe I didn't hear it earlier, and it's just been stuck in my head for some other random reason.
Yeah, the earlier version was by the California Raisins, and this is Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
So it is Junior. I've always wondered, it's Junior Walker, not J.R. Walker. It's Junior Walker.
Well, I'm reading it as Junior Walker, and if that's a mistake, then that's John Dixon's mistake.
Whoa, hey,
which I seriously doubt would happen.
Under the bus.
No, I seriously doubt that would happen. I mean, John is like a walking encyclopedia.
Yes, our music maven.
Yes.
I've just seen
except for when it comes to the metal scene, that's, you know, hard rock and stuff, that's more my stuff.
Yeah, well, can you blame him? Well, I've just seen J.R., right, as in Junior, or J.R., not written out as Junior as it is there. So I guess that is how it is. It's Junior, and I've seen it just shortened to the J.R., like for a Junior.
Well, I've always heard it as Junior Walker and the All-Stars also.
That's a great song, and I love that intro there with that saxophone. Fantastic. It was stuck in my head, and I was wondering why. The California Raisins, we have a song in the system by the California Raisins. We actually play that on the radio?
Yes, we do, and this is not from the 1980s commercials with the little claymation.
Oh, okay.
California Raisins, no.
All right. Full transparency, I think we used to have a poster in our house growing up of the California Raisins from the commercial. I think it was in the closet of one of my brother's bedrooms. I don't know how we got that thing. Or when. What's Bobby upset about now?
Walker in the All-Stars!
Yeah, I don't know if it was Junior or J.R.
J.R. Walker!
Well, because it says J.R. I don't know if it's Junior or J.R.
I can't hear you, but it's Junior Walker.
Yeah, okay.
In the All-Stars. I figured I had to stop you. Now I'll leave you. I'm getting that dirty look now.
What about, where are you on the California Raisins? Do you like the California Raisins?
Do I like the California Raisins? I remember them, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Why, what about them?
Joe played the version of that song by the California Raisins earlier.
Have you never heard of Junior Walker in the All-Stars?
I have. That's not what I didn't know if it was J.R. Walker or Junior Walker.
Then you've never heard of Junior Walker in the All-Stars.
Of course I have.
But J.R. Walker.
Yeah, why not? It's written as J.R. That very easily could be J.R.
I've said it a million times. We should have built a Mason-Dixon wall.
Oh, get out of here. Please. Please. Get out of here with the music. Anything past 1970, Bobby doesn't know anyways. Don't talk to me about music. I love Shotgun by J.R. Walker. That's what he's known about, and that's what he's known as around here, J.R. Walker. College football playoff rankings came out last night. And I gave you my thoughts earlier. You know, nothing changed as expected. We knew the top seven would all be the same, and then Oklahoma would drop out. That's exactly what occurred. This time of year, though, history tells us there's one change from the playoff rankings moving forward. Three of the four teams will make it. There'll be one difference. I laid out the scenarios and the paths earlier. For Alabama, obviously, if you lose to Georgia, that's probably the one change we would get, at least one. If Oregon loses one of two matchups to Utah, they would drop out. There's a change. If Ohio State can't get past both Michigans the next 2 weeks, there will be a change in the Big Ten. It's why I think Michigan stands, they're in a pretty good spot right now. You hope Ohio State wins on Saturday, as they theoretically should based off of the betting line, and then you just take care of your own business next week against Ohio State, and Michigan is in as the Big Ten representative instead. Many could point to Cincinnati as being that next team in, right? If we do get one change in the top four, Cincy could be the one standing there reaping the benefits. That may not be the case because you could see a Michigan leapfrogging Cincinnati. Michigan may not be ahead of Cincinnati right now, but if Michigan wins out the rest of the way, I would not be surprised if the committee takes a one-loss Big Ten champion, especially if it's a brand like Michigan, over Cincinnati. So even though they're fifth and they're ahead of some of these teams, you know, it's still Oklahoma State is towards the back half of the top 10. if they win the Big 12 with just one loss, I could see them getting in instead of Cincinnati. So it's not just Cincinnati having to leapfrog a team or two. It's also being avoided, trying to avoid being, what would be like a pass, being leapfrogged? I guess you would say leapfrogged again. Avoid the other teams leaping over you into the top four. So for Cincinnati, I still don't know how clear that path really is. They need more chaos than it appears. There'll be at least one change in all of this. There could be a lot of changes. If Alabama loses two games, are you putting them in? If Oregon loses one more game, do you put anybody from the Pac-12 in? Probably not. In the Big Ten, like I said, right, if Michigan wins out, they're probably going in, they should, instead of anyone else from that conference. What if somehow, is there a scenario where everybody could have two losses in the Big Ten? Ohio State beats Michigan State, Michigan beats beats Ohio State, and then Michigan loses in the Big Ten championship. Right, that could happen, and then they'd all have two losses. We could end up with a scenario where we have a two-loss Alabama, a two-loss Oregon, everybody in the Big Ten with two losses, and we've always been talking about, will we get our first two-loss team? For all we know, we could have three two-loss teams in the playoffs at that point, especially if Cincinnati loses to SMU this Saturday. There's a chance for a lot of chaos still in these last couple of weeks. We usually don't see a lot of changes from this point on in the playoff picture. We may see a bunch this year. But I thought about this. A couple of thoughts from the playoff ranking. I got a loser, a winner, and then also a couple of teams that are being overlooked. The loser in all this is the ACC, because that's the one conference we're not talking about. We're even talking about Cincinnati in the group of five. Obviously the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, but not the ACC. Now, Wake Forest moved back into the top 10 last night by default. They beat NC State, but really, you didn't come away thinking like, wow, they should be back in the top 10. It's because Oklahoma lost, so you slide everybody else up, and oh, here's Wake Forest at number 10. But the ACC, why it's so disappointing this year, for a couple of reasons. Number one, even the Pac-12 is still involved. Even Cincinnati stands a better chance right now, right? The group of five instead of the ACC. But number two, at the start of the year, I said that this could be an unpredictable college football season for a number of different reasons. Number one, you're getting fans back. Number two, we throw back more, you know, non-conference games that we didn't have last year. Number three, you have more experienced teams. And when it comes to the experience, for the ACC, only the Pac-12 was more experienced. Only the Pac-12 returned a higher percentage of starters than the ACC. The ACC had more returnees this year than the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC. And yet, you look at the ACC this year, and they've still been a mess. You would think that they lost all of their talent instead of returning the majority or most of it in college football. When you compare the Power 5 conferences. Heading into this year, the ACC, from that standpoint, was in one of the best positions. And then the season unfolded, and we know about Clemson underperforming, and then UNC's been a disaster, Miami's been a disaster, really everybody in that entire conference. Wake Forest finally gets into the top 10 for the first time, and then 4 days later lose, dropping out of the top 10 and ending their playoff hopes. The ACC, as you look at the latest college football playoff rankings last night, and you go through the list, right, not great. The ACC is the one Power 5 conference being ignored, and they entered this season feeling like they were in a really good spot. We got a lot of returnees. We're bringing back a lot of talent. Clemson's going to be their usual self. It's going to come down to UNC and Miami over here. Pittsburgh could be pretty good. Virginia Tech could be pretty good. They just fired their coach instead. Right? The ACC had high hopes this year. They had some dreams, and they've turned into all a bunch of nightmares instead. It's been brutal. The winner in this, as I watch the college football playoff rankings, the winner is Bob Bowlesby, commissioner of the Big 12, for a couple of different reasons. Number one, what a weekend for Bob Bowlesby. You had Texas lose to Kansas. Embarrassing loss for Texas. One of the worst losses they probably have ever had, to lose at home to Kansas. And then you had Oklahoma lose to Baylor, really putting a dent, a big one, into their playoff hopes. And those are the two teams that we know are leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. So if I'm Bob Bowlesby sitting at home watching the games on Saturday, right, I'm kicking my feet up and laughing. I'm like Elaine in Seinfeld with the cigar as she wins the bet with Jerry and he has to pay her out at the coffee table. Right, I'm having a good time. Texas is getting embarrassed. Oklahoma's losing the biggest game of their season to that point. And these are the two teams that are trying to bail on us for the SEC. Right, Bowlesby, that's what he would call karma. If you're the SEC, do you have any sort of second thoughts? Like, oh, should we really bring these guys in here? At least when it comes to Texas. But not only that, for the Big 12, it also now comes about, it's about Oklahoma State. Baylor got that big win against Oklahoma. They're in the top 15. They're not a playoff team, but they're at least in that, somewhat in that conversation. They're in maybe the second tier teams, top three tiers. And those are teams that are hanging around for you in the Big 12. So you want, right, if it's up to Bowlesby, Those are the teams he wants to have the best year because they're going to hang around. They're staying with him. And meanwhile, Cincinnati, who's coming to the Big 12, is right there as the number five team, the best group of five. So if you're Bob Bowlesby, you look at the last couple of days and how things have transpired in, let's say, the last, 72, 96 hours. You had Texas and Oklahoma both lose crushing games, brutal. You had, meanwhile, Oklahoma State and Baylor look better. And you have Cincinnati, who you're going to have to hype up here in future years, looking pretty good still as the number five team. Now, with all that said, it leads me to my final point. The teams that I think are still being overlooked in all of this, and I've been guilty of this at times this year as well. One of them I just mentioned. That's Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State should be the leader right now in the Big 12. Like, if you're looking at the Big 12 and a potential playoff team, right, it should be Oklahoma State that comes to mind first. They have the second best strength of schedule amongst the top 10 teams. They have beaten three ranked teams. And yet right now they're slotted ninth behind all of the other one-loss teams. I think more attention should be paid to Oklahoma State. The other team I would mention is right next to them, and that's Notre Dame. We all wrote off Notre Dame probably before even the start of the season, and then certainly once they lost to Cincinnati, which is funny because we can talk out of both sides of our mouth. The same people that tell you Cincinnati should be a playoff team are also the same ones telling you, like, oh, Notre Dame, no, but they lost to Cincinnati. Oh, that seems like a pretty good loss, and it's the only one they have. Notre Dame has the third best strength of schedule. And you know who they're behind? Georgia and Alabama, the top two teams. And yet Notre Dame can't crack the top seven. Their only loss this year is to the team currently sitting number five in the playoff rankings. So those are two teams that I think are being overlooked. Oklahoma State and Notre Dame at the back of the top 10. ESPN's FPI gives Georgia a 99% chance of making the playoff. I would agree. I think they're already in, unless they somehow lose to Charleston Southern or Georgia Tech. As long as they get to the SEC title game undefeated, they're in, and they should be there undefeated. Alabama has a 75% chance. I don't know. If they lose, I don't know. I mean, they'll require some other chaos. If Oregon loses, Ohio State loses, and Alabama all lose, then yes, you could have that two-loss team in the playoff. Ohio State has a 54% chance, highest in the Big Ten. Notre Dame comes in at, Michigan is next at 34%. Michigan State at only 2%. By the way, in the Pac-12, Oregon only 7% to actually finish this off. Cincinnati has a 45% chance from ESPN's FPI to make the playoff. Oklahoma State has the highest percentage in the Big 12 at 26%. And then lastly, Notre Dame still at 46%, according to at least ESPN's FPI. So Notre Dame is sitting there at number 8, and according to this one projection, they have almost a coin flip chance of making the playoff still. Lastly, Wake Forest. I told you the ACC is the big loser in all this. Yeah, Wake Forest is the leader in the ACC. They have a 0.3 chance of actually making the playoff this year. Right, everyone's having a good time, and the ACC is being left out. It's like the kid being in the corner in timeout while everyone else is enjoying recess. Right, they're all having fun. You're missing out, but not only are you missing out, you have to actually sit there and watch it happen while everyone else is having fun, and you're not. You're the kid that had to go back for seconds at the birthday party, and now they're keeping you out of the pool because you have to wait an extra 30 minutes to digest whatever that wife's tale was, and everyone else is in the pool splashing around and having fun. That's the ACC on the outside looking in right now, coming down the home stretch. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Jim, what's going on? How are you?
It's like calling a national show. Reminds me of the old days with the sports babe and everybody else. You are a little winded, but I understand. Mom and Dad's in town. You got to put on the show. You're good. You're good, though. You know you're good. And tell Bobby Harton his show's between 3 and 6. Please. JR and the All-Stars, okay?
That's right.
I mean, your name would be Lou Morrow, JR, or Junior behind it, okay? But it would be the letters JR. Please. And you're going to believe Bobby as far as songs? Remember, his claim to fame was a song he sang at karaoke that I watched. I touched myself. I refuse to say anymore, okay? About that. Now we're only allowed two things. My second thing is the annual public service announcement, since Mom and Dad are in town. Please, the doors are open. The only thing we ask you to do, it's 76 degrees outside today. Take a little ride to the ocean. Go to the Angel Oak Tree. Do what you have to do. Get all the sights out. And think about it. You can leave the snow chains up there. He can leave the bubble coat. He can leave the snow shovel. And he doesn't even need the snow brush on the car. It's all there. It's all in the making. They better come down, because selfishly, if they come down here, then you'll stay here longer. I got it all figured out for you, buddy. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to campaign. But you tell them hi, happy Thanksgiving to them. Tell them too.
Yes, absolutely. Appreciate it, Jim, as always. By the way, hey, they've been here plenty of times. We don't need to do any more sightseeing. The sightseeing we do in the Morrow household is watching the college football playoff rankings and the games play out, like College of Charleston last night. I got more thoughts on that coming up, because even in a loss, it can be a win for the Cougars. That was the case last night. And you can continue to always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. The official show of J.R. Walker and his great hits from over the years. It's the Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Even in a loss last night, College of Charleston still won. I just saw Pat Kelsey post a video within the last about 45 minutes to Twitter, head coach of the Cougars, with the same, you know, the same shtick, talking about how great the environment was last night. And, smart man, he recorded this video while standing on the water, or alongside the water, to also show what else Charleston has to offer. That's coaching in 2021. It's always about recruiting, and now social media plays a big role. But to continue to talk about, as he says in that video, last night was one of the greatest environments of his coaching career. Right? You talk it up. Here's the water. Oh, what an environment. We played UNC tough. And as kids that see that, they say, man, I got to go be part of that. Last night, even in a loss, was a win for College of Charleston. Not only to hang in there at UNC, that'll help this current team moving forward, but it also helps future teams for this program by selling that so well last night on national TV. Great environment. And Pat Kelsey at halftime, right, the first response he gives was talking about how great of an environment it was. And when you're at home watching that, you're thinking, man, I got to be part of this. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go back to the phones. Andrew is with us. Andrew, what's going on? How are you? Andrew? Oh, we lost Andrew. All right, Andrew, you can try to give us a call back if you're still hanging around. 843-721-9500. In the meantime, let me get to this joke. Grab this audio from Matt Campbell. On Monday on the show, you know, I always come in, I give you my winners and losers from the college football weekend. One of the losers, I said, was Matt Campbell. His stock couldn't be any higher heading into this year. The Detroit Lions wanted to hire him. NFL teams were after him. He wanted to stay at Iowa State. What has unfolded in the months since? Well, Iowa State, they went from a top 10 team to start the year to certainly very far from even being ranked now. They were a playoff predicted team for many at the start of the year. Now they're only 6-4. They lost Saturday as an 11-point favorite to Texas Tech. The stock has plummeted for Matt Campbell. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach. I've said this in defense of Dan Mullen. Coaches can have one bad year. But you also may not want to hire a coach. I mean, maybe you buy a stock at its lowest, right? You could get Campbell pretty cheap now compared to a few months ago, I'm sure. But the stock has plummeted for Matt Campbell this year. Then he goes out there, and yesterday at his press conference, he had this to say, and I don't think that this does him any favors. I think this drops the stock even more. Here was Campbell yesterday.
How do you as a coach view goals? Because at the beginning of the season, you, your players, the goal was Big 12 championship.
Oh, not me. That was never my goal. Okay. My goal has always been one thing, and that's to become the best version of ourselves we can become. So you've never heard me say that word once. You've only heard me talk about becoming the best version of yourself you can be. And really my challenge for this year's team was to become the greatest together team in the history of Iowa State football. And so far, all of our goals are still intact from a Coach Campbell standpoint. Now, could our players have other goals and aspirations? Sure. Do I want them to have great goals and aspirations? Sure. But that's not Coach Campbell's goal. That was never said by me.
What the heck is that? That's Matt Campbell, head coach of Iowa State. If I'm an Iowa State fan, I'm hearing that thinking, what is this? Number one, what is this guy talking about? And number two, why don't we have a head coach whose goal is to win the conference? That's some cultish stuff right there. That's like David Koresh getting on the microphone. What are you talking about? Oh, we just wanted to be the best version of ourselves. Right, a bunch of coach speak. Our goal this year is to be the greatest together team in the history of Iowa football. What the hell does that mean? And does that get you a bowl win? And does that provide you a ring or a trophy at the end of the year? The greatest together team? What does that mean? If I'm an Iowa State fan, I'm thinking, what is my coach talking about? Bunch of nonsense. It wasn't our goal to go win the Big 12 championship. Then maybe you shouldn't be coaching and playing. Because that should always be the goal of every team. Now, let's be realistic here. For South Carolina, their goal this year, no, probably not to win the SEC title. They would love to, but let's be realistic. The goal probably was just to make a bowl game. That's being more realistic. For Iowa State, when you started the year as a top 10 team and people were predicting you to make a playoff, you're telling me at the start of the year you told your guys in that locker room, like, let's just go out there and be the best versions of ourselves. Let's be the greatest together team. What a bunch of nonsense. That's like something you'd see on TV, one of these, like a preacher or somebody, right, talking late night on TV when you're flipping through the channels, or like a Tony Robbins. Right? That's something Tony Robbins would be saying to an auditorium at 1 a.m. as you're flipping the channels. Just be the best version of yourself. No, a bunch of nonsense. You're a football coach. Go win the Big 12 championship. That should be the goal. And so for Matt Campbell, to me, it's been a disaster of a season. Top 10 team, now you're 6-4. Right? I mean, similar to Clemson. Just a smaller scale. But Clemson, another one. We thought, this is a playoff team this year. Yeah, they're hardly over 500. And they've strung a couple of wins together now. They got 7 wins, right? But still, you know, Clemson was a 500 team for the first 2 months of the season. Iowa State, we thought they were a playoff team. Now they're pretty much 500. And then the coach is saying, we just wanted to be the best version of ourselves. That's all. We had no goals of winning the Big 12. That's not what you want to hear from your head coach. It shouldn't be what you want to hear from your head coach. He should be upset. That's what I want, because the fans are upset. And as a fan, you always want the athletes or the coaches to be in the same corner as you. That's why people don't like the athletes that don't seem to care or aren't as interested or don't seem to work that hard. Right? Because you're invested. You want them to be invested. And if my coach is saying that after a disappointing season, no, that wasn't one of our goals. We just wanted to be the best version. Well, guess what? You haven't accomplished that goal either. This was not the best version of your team. You were better last year. 6-4. Tough year for Matt Campbell. By the way, we can't play it on air, but somebody did reach out to the show and said to check out the Kirby Smart audio from Florida. I had not seen it, so I said, all right, let me. I saw it floating around, but I never actually listened to the audio from the halftime of the game against Florida. So I listened to it earlier during a commercial break. No, it cannot be played on air, but I love it. I love the message from Kirby Smart. Maybe you've heard it. If not, go check it out. But he tells his guys, right, don't talk any trash. If anyone's talking trash to you, you know, point to the scoreboard or tell them, you know, point to how the game's going. And as he said, I'm paraphrasing because I can't use the actual words, but also said along the same lines of, you shouldn't be talking trash anyways, or, you know, don't get yourself in trouble because we should be beating them, right? Like, don't gloat because this should be expected. And I think that's a great message from a coach. Like, you don't punch down at people. The people that are punching up are the ones that, you know, are punching up for a reason. They're below you. They're coming after you. You always attack the more successful people, right? So you could go find the video for yourself. We can't play it on air, but I know it's making the rounds on social media. I actually thought it was a great little message from Kirby Smart at halftime of that game. Right? Let's be more physical to them. And by the way, as we beat them, right, you don't even need to rub their faces in it because we should expect to do this. And if they say anything to you, just point to the scoreboard because we're whooping them today. You can go find the video for yourself. We'll wrap up Wednesday afternoon when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Out in the street, they call it murder.
Jam rock, jump with the thugs and jump at. 2 pound now within a van back. It in a your handbag, your knapsack, it in a your backpack. The smell of to your girlfriend contact. Some boy not know this. Them only come around like tourists on the beach.
Fun a funky finish to your Wednesday afternoon with a little Damian Marley. Good song. Obviously son of Bob Marley. Damian and myself share the same birthday. He was just born years before me.
And brother of Rohan Marley, former University of Miami linebacker.
Yeah. There's so many Marleys to keep track of. Most of them are musicians. One played football. One was in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, Jacob Marley, right? He was related to Bob. And, they're all over the place. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. And don't forget, you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com, through our free app by searching ESPN Charleston in the App Store, or TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker as well. You can listen to the show from anywhere in the world. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 14 different states and multiple countries on this Wednesday afternoon. Appreciate you hanging out. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. And those podcasts available also through the app, ESPN Charleston in the App Store, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com by clicking on our show page. The message of the day: College of Charleston was the big winner last night. Even though they lost in the box score, the final score, they come out the big winners last night because that was just a great marketing tool. It was a two-hour infomercial, and they knocked it out of the park. If you were at home watching that game, right, you should come away impressed with the environment, the culture Pat Kelsey's building, the effort from the team last night. That was as good of a loss as you could have if you're the Cougars. We will not be on the air tomorrow, at least not for a show. I'll swing by the Ronald McDonald House, try to hang out with Bobby, talk some more J.R. Walker. But we'll give way to a much more important cause tomorrow with Bobby's 12-hour radiothon to help benefit the Ronald McDonald House as part of the Fan Talk Families campaign. He'll be on the air tomorrow from 6 to 6, and I'll try to swing by there during the middle of it. Then we'll come back Friday with a regular football Friday. Get ready for the football weekend. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we'll say goodbye. We'll say hello again Friday at noon. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.